So we are continuing with Resh Nun Aleph. We're going to Bet. So this is the prohibitions of Melacha Erev Shabbat Ahar Mancha, not davening Mincha per se, but after the time that one would potentially be able to pray Mancha, right? So Bet. So you're allowed to write Divrei Torah on the way that you would learn. So most of this is not going to be Hiddush, right? He says, any way you're going to write it down, whether or not you're going to write it by hand, or you're going to use a mechonat ketiva, a typewriter, so that's a little dated, but lamase, or machshev, and I have a little board about the word machshev, we'll do that in a second, as long as he needs it to learn, he's allowed to do it literally up until you get a stop for Shabbat. So my vorda on machshev is this. What's the word for computer in English? It's computer. I'm 99% sure in Spanish, it's computer. I'm pretty sure in Russian, it's computer. In fact, the only language that I think has a unique word for it that really is its own word is Hebrew. And I would figure that the Jews, you know, that we're... Because what's machshiv? What's the word from? What's the shoresh? To think. It's a thinking machine. So the Maasei, the people who are the people of the book, are the people like, the thinking machine. That we're going to make a special tefisah. We're going to have our own word for it. When I think that most, if not almost every other language uses the word computer. Or computer. However anybody wants to say it. Okay. And especially if it's going to prevent you from learning Torah if you don't have this particular device. So it's an interesting idea, is that we have the idea of Torah Shtav, Torah Shvel Peh. Torah Shvel Peh was not supposed to be written down. Once it's written down, at this point we write down our learning. But there is an idea still that learning is supposed to be something that goes on really ideally between two people. And if you think about it, writing stuff is kind of antisocial. You don't write with other people. You're only writing when you are learning by yourself. So he's saying that if this is something you need, you can continue to do it. But we are talking about, and I think in all three cases he's holding, and this is kind of implicit, that whether or not you're doing Kotev with a pen, a typewriter, or even a computer, it may be Kotev Deoraita. We'll see later. But if you think about it, right, because one might think that that it's not Kotev Deoraita, because you're just hitting ones and zeros, and the second you shut the laptop, everything goes away. That's actually our heter to put Torah apps on the phone, right? How can you, why don't you have to bury your phone when it dies if you had, let's say, you had Uvlet Chavaderech on your phone, right? You have Hamash, you have this. It's like, no, you don't. You have ones and zeros. That's all that's there. And then once you pull it up, then the computer knows how to generate it. But Lamase, it doesn't exist. You don't have to worry about Mechikat Shem Hashem. You don't have to worry about erasing Shem Hashem on a computer because it's not really there. It's artificial.
So what does it mean?
Okay, so we're going to go to Gimel.
So you don't have to kiss your phone after you finish davening.
You don't have to put your phone away during davening?
No, kiss your phone.
Oh, no, you don't have to kiss your phone. Oh, I have seen it. I have seen it.
I know, I've seen it too. So I was like,
but let me say you don't have to. No, you don't have to give kibbutz to your phone. In fact, people give too much kibbutz to the phone. Right. You know, I heard something, 10% of people sleep with their phones in their hand. It's not good. There will be a reckoning for this, but for right now, whatever. Okay, so back to Gimel. Yesh omrim shedavka malacha asor la'aso b'nerev Shabbat, aval pragmatika alemchol nikno mutar. So, Rav Avadya says that it's the only thing that's aser out of Shabbat would be actual malacha in terms of the 39 malachot, but doing business would be mutar, which is interesting. And he says, well, yesh l'cholkin, there are people that argue. You know, I'll hold off on what's interesting till the end of this. And he says, and people are lenient to do business until Hadlakat Nero, which he says is 20 minutes before Shkia. Not 18 like we're usually used to. His Shita comes up over and it was an Eretz Yisrael. This is 20. Not 18, 20. Okay? And he says people who are doing it have what to rely on. Ulam yesh liskor rahaniyot kore muktam kore mahashabat ba'ofen shemocher yechol la'agia la'beto ulet bonin shabat. So he says, but if you own a store, you should shut it earlier than that so you could come home and really be involved in Shabbat, not just like right up to the end. So what's the issue? In the Torah, we only know about two malachot, straight up. Right? Lighting fire, don't do malacha, and taking things out of your reshut. Right? All the malachot are learned, but there are actually other places in Tanakh where we see that certain things were deemed asur already. Right? Doing business is a derabanan. Right? Why? Because you might come to write something. But Nehemiah, right? You're familiar with Nehemiah, right? No? So one of the last Sfarim in Tanakh is Ezra Nehemiah. Ezra was the leader who took us out of Galut, and Nehemiah was from Beit David, and, you know, led the Jews.
Not Ezra the Sofer?
Along with Ezra the Sofer. So they're like the same time. That's why the Sefer is Ezra Nehemiah. But there's Sefer Ezra, Sefer Nehemiah. So in Nehemiah, he really lays it on the Jews, and one of the things he calls the Jews out for is doing business. One might infer that would make it a deraita, not a derabanan. We pass against derabanan, but nonetheless, it's a pretty serious derabanan if Nehemiah is feeling the need to mention that the Jews are not observing this part of Shabbat properly.
Okay.
Okay. Dalit. Malachin devar devarave be'anav Shabbat muteret ad somoch leknisar a Shabbat wahag. So something that's a malacha that you are going to lose out if you're not doing Erev Shabbat, you're allowed to do it, which is everybody's hetter to going up to the line, basically. And this is regardless if it's Shabbat or Chag, which is interesting because we'll see if he deals with Pesach specifically, but Pesach, in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, once you brought your Korban, that was basically, you know, once you brought your Korban Pesach, you're only supposed to be doing Korban Pesach. So that's it. And there are a bunch of reasons for that, but Lamase, for all intents and purposes, the Chag begins once you shechted your Korban. But now we're not really holding by that. So what's the definition of losing out? That means that if you don't do this malacha, you're going to lose from the Karen. You're going to lose from the principle, right? It's not just that you're going to gain more, but you are actually going to take a hit financially. הפלטה החשמלית מותר לתקן אלא לקצר או לפלטה אפילו על ידי אומן עד סמוך לכנסי השבת. So he gives another time that it would be permissible to do actual malacha ערב שבת, and that's if the malacha that you're doing is related to Shabbat itself. Your plata, right? Your heating element, your the lights, the timers, the all those things that you're actually using on Shabbat, which are going to run automatically. If they break, I remember being by a guy's house. He wanted to have timers in, so he was installing timers into the wall. He was an electrician, and he was shocking himself right up to candle lighting, putting in the timers. And that was actual malacha, and that was a malacha of an uman. Not that he hired somebody, but he, you have to have a certain qualification to be a real electrician, and that's what he was doing. He was opening up the wall and putting in timers. לכן מותר לשטוף רצפת הבית או חדרי המדרגות לכבוד שבת אפילו בשכר וגם אחר חצות היום אף אם מקבל השכר על זה ומלבד שיהיה סיפק בידם להגיע לביתם לכן צריכי שבת. And another situation he's bringing out is every yeshiva guy's parnasa, or a lot of us. I certainly did this when I was doing sponja, right? Janitorial stuff. So you get hired Erev Shabbat. He says that you can go and clean stairs or clean up, which is a paying job, right? And if you remember, we talked about havlah, right? That if you're doing a malacha and you're getting paid on Shabbat, you should be paid for a project and not be paid on Shabbat. Well, malacha that you do Erev Shabbat doesn't have any of those dinim. You can be paid for whatever it is that you're doing Erev Shabbat, and it doesn't need to be swallowed into Thursday, which is an interesting idea, right? So it's just that when you do it, you should give yourself enough time to get home so you can prep for Shabbat, right? Your prep by washing somebody else's stairs does not count as your Shabbat prep, right? Like, you think about it a second. Like, I just went and I cleaned an entire building, the Chavot Shabbat, but I didn't do my house for Shabbat. So all that stuff you did was not l'din Chavot Shabbat. You did it l'chavot your parnasa, to make a buck. It only becomes Kibbutz Shabbat once you go home and you show you're doing the Shabbat because your own house. Very good. Hey, נכון, נסתפר ביום שישי לחבוד שבת ומותר, נסתפר אף חצות היום, אף אצל ספר ישראל, ואף בשכר, ואין מניע, ונסתפר אז גם על ידי פי דרך הסוד, ושלא כמו שחשבו כמו מהאחרונים. Kama Achronim, sorry. Okay, so this is an interesting halacha because it contradicts the Mishnah. Right? Usually we paskin something in the Mishnah, that should be all there is to it. Okay? And Ben Ishchai brings down not like this, but we'll see why it is. But he says that it is... a nachon, which would mean a good thing to get your hair cut on Friday, and you're allowed to do it even after Hatzot Hayom, right? After midday. And even if it's a Jew cutting your hair, even if he's getting paid, and you don't need to stop him from doing it, even al pisod. And it's not like Achronim who prohibit this. What's the issue? The Gemara, the Mishnah explicitly says, don't get your hair cut on Friday, because what's going to happen? You're getting your hair cut, and the scissors are going to snap, and you're like, you know, you're like half in it. You're gonna look like, you're gonna. I'll just be nice and I'll say you won't look right. And you're going to go into Shabbat not looking right, or you might have a Yitzhar to have somebody clean you up. Right? Not on Shabbat. Right. But now, because we have all kinds of professional equipment and stuff can be swapped out. If you go, for example, you go to a barber, they're not going to have one set of hair clippers. They'll have a bunch. Right? So we don't have this concern. Right, and this becomes an issue. When is it? When the Gemara says usser, and it gives you a reason. When is it that we can abrogate that and undo it? And the svara behind this is not the svara, but one of the svaras used is the fact that you have competing considerations. On one hand, you don't want to be Mahal Shabbat because somebody broke their clipper or this or that. The competing consideration is if you need your haircut, then your Kavod Shabbat itself is pogim. There's something wrong with it because you're going into Shabbat looking like garbage.
I think this is a mitzvah of every Shabbat to get it.
No. So your idea just came from Rav Avadya. Go back before Rav Avadya. Not only wasn't it a good thing to do, it was a bad thing to do. But he's saying, Bizman is then, now that we don't have this consideration of the shears breaking, now you look your best when you get your haircut right away. And he's saying, yeah, then by all means, if you go Friday morning, that's a good thing to do. Right, so it's a change in mitzvot. It's a change in the circumstance in reality, which sometimes we will change the halacha based on that. Very good. Okay. Kilo matza peda makom nanoach ela rak bishvin manha osmofin akel bezeh alpi hatirutzim shamru bezeh amru v'ketav v'ben ishai hilchot shanoshah parshat akel yucholim istaper gam ahachat sod ain't sorry, Lachmin Bazaaf, Amida Hasidur, the Kenneman Hag. And so he said, and you can rely on the leniencies, and he's pointing you to the Ben Ish Chai. So Ben Ish Chai gave certain, not everything in a row was a chumrah. I seem to remember that he was machmir on this, but I guess he gave a kula. Rav Avadya also wrote a perush on the Ben Ish Chai called Hilchot Olam. Where he explains a lot of his logic of when he agrees or disagrees with the Ben Ish Chai. And he says that you can do it even after Chatzot, and you don't even need to be strict about this. This is something like, don't worry about it, Bizman is that. At all. Well, I'm saying, like, Akirikaf, you know? Like, Bar Minan, we end up in a matzav where all society collapses and now we have to start cutting our hair again with rocks. We would go back to the old din, right? Well, before metal forging, things were cut with rock. You've heard of Paleolithic civilizations, like the early stone civilizations, the Stone Age. You've heard of the Stone Age? It was literal. It's when humans learned to use stone tools. If they cut their hair at all.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So they very well may have. I mean, the fact of the matter is the sharpest edge you can get is not from metal. It's from rock. Specifically obsidian. Obsidian. So it's volcanic glass. And it can get about 10 times sharp than surgical steel. And I believe that I heard that surgeons don't like it because it's so sharp that the knife just slips in, and it's harder to control. So, yeah. But Avraham Avinu, he did Brit Mila with a rock. He didn't do it with metal.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're already lenient to go to a merchatz. What's a merchatz? So rochatz is to wash, but a merchatz is like a bathhouse. You know, think like sauna. You know, like going to the gym, not just like, you know, jumping in the shower out of Shabbat. And he said you could do this even within a half hour close to mincha. And if you're lenient, but he says, but you shouldn't hang out there that long. So you can kind of think of washing in like three different categories. One is your home, you know, rinse off. Even if you take a proper shower, lamasse, it's rinsing off. You can think of a mikvah, right, where you're showering and then jumping in the mikvah, but lamasse, there's still like that factor, even though it's taking longer, it's still like that factory element. You get in, you get out. But you do have the shvitz. You know, you go to the gym, you work out hard, and you go and you do, you know, 10-15 in the steam room, and you do another 10 in the sauna, and then you go rinse off, and like, oh, you cooled yourself, so I'll go jump back in the sauna again, get a look. You know, so that's the matzah he's talking about more. You know, somebody actually invited me to go to a Russian bathhouse. I'm like, that does not sound pleasant. I'm sorry. Like, no offense to you guys. When I say jumping in an ice bath.
No, it's not an ice bath.
Well, it's...
You have choices. Hot, warm, freezing, cold. And then they beat you with leaves. It's like a massage for the body.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. To each his or her own. Not
I.
Tried
it once. I didn't like it.
Not I, said the rabbi. So, all right, we're going with Zion now. Yes. המקלים לחבש על הבגדים במכון המרכביסה אוטומטית, גם אחר זמן מחקטונה. שמרחן המלכונה מחפשת מאלה, לא חשיב כעושה מלאכה לערב שבועת. בפרט בימי החורף, יש לחוש אם ידחי הכביסה יום ראשון לא יכול היבשה במהרה. אוקיי. So he's saying that you can be lenient to use a washing machine, an automatic washing machine, even after Mincha Katana, and that what happens is you throw it in and the malacha occurs by itself, and it's not like you should think of it as you're doing malacha Erev Shabbat, especially in the winter where you have a concern that if you if you push it off, you won't be able to get it dry. It won't dry right away. You know, can mold or something like that. So, but the Maaseh, there's a concern also with any machine, the dishwasher, the washing machine, any of these things, that if they're noisy, you're not supposed to have noisy things on Shabbat, but the Maaseh says you can do it. You can continue to let it run. And we are in Rosh and Bet. We'll push ahead a little bit? Okay, good. Okay, Rosh and Bet. Hatkalat Malacha HaMisyameh B'Shabbat. So this becomes a very interesting sugya. What if you're starting a malacha and it's going into Shabbat? That the yeshivish thing that they quote is the Nemukei Yosef, a quote-unquote famous Nemukei Yosef, as close as such a thing is going to exist. He talks about the idea of what's the difference when your arrow goes, you shoot an arrow and it hits something, right? How is that not the same as if you're lighting candles on Shabbat and they're going to burn into Shabbat? Lamasa, you started a malacha that's going, and since what you did is now occurring on Shabbat, and he says it's not the same thing. That when you started Behater, you started Behater, and the fact that it continues into Shabbat is irrelevant. But we're going to see how that plays out in real life now. So Aleph, mutal atchir b'maracha erev Shabbat o erev Yom Tov afilu samach leknisat Shabbat l'chag afal pi shamalacha shigman abe Shabbat me'aleha. So it is mutar to start a malacha erev Shabbat, and that's why the washing machine is kind of a good segue into this, right? That even if Shabbat's gonna start. As long as it's going to finish on its own. Shelo nasar aleinu la'asol menacha, eila be'itzumo shel yom. Olachim mutar le'anot kama shenaseh b'Shabbat me'alav. So, and we're not going to answer something that malacha happened to it. If the malacha is just happening on its own, and you can even benefit from it. Okay? Alright. Ulachem mutar leftoch mayim legina erev Shabbat, shamayim holchim ashkim legina b'meshech Shabbat. So you would be allowed to open up water to water erev Shabbat, and the water is going to continue watering during Shabbat. Yesh omrim sha'af mutar nikaven et shona ha-Shabbat al menat shi'apil me'alav b'Shabbat et ha-mamtarot kedei nashakot ereitzim, things like that. So he says, so it's even mutar to use a Shabbat clock.
What?
A Shabbat clock. You know, a timer. Just use a timer so that the malacha will happen on its own. And the example he gives is watering things, sprinklers. Because sprinklers is a malacha deraita. So it's like a malacha deraita. We all have them. So you can allow it to happen. That it's going to water.
But it's not like you make a TV on go by a timer, radio.
Okay, so that's going to run into a couple of issues. Lamase, if you're somebody who's going to watch TV on Shabbat, well, first of all, you should know v'yesh machmirin b'zeh bechlal. So some people say you can't do that. That you can't use a timer at Erev Shabbat to make something happen on Shabbat. So it's machloket. Rav Ovadia's Mikel. There are others. Kalanish, I think, may have been one of those weird Mikelim. And I think Rav Moshe was actually a Machmir on this issue, if I'm remembering correctly. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, it's not so pashut that you could do it.
No, not for me. I just know people asked when this topic came up.
Yeah. So we are Lamase, we are Mako, by and large, on that issue of having stuff go off. We have a light. My kids have a turtle. So turtle has so we have the light on a timer, so it goes off at night. But
no, it's like a regular light.
Yeah, it's like a regular light, but it's just going on the timer. The TV, as I mentioned before, you have the issur of making noise on Shabbat. A mashmia kol, obviously, a TV and a radio would be making noise on Shabbat. So that bichlal you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to have noisy things going on Shabbat. But if somebody's going to turn on the TV versus if they, let's say, pre-program everything, you know, they TiVo it. I don't know, is TiVo still a thing?
Yeah.
It is, okay. So if you were to do that and just, like, set up your whole day that, like, I want to watch this, you wouldn't be doing a malacha. Am I going to tell you should do that? No. But you wouldn't be doing a malacha. Okay, you know, if somebody saw you Erev Shabbat setting up your TiVo, they couldn't come into you and say, like, we're going to take you to Beit Din and stone you to death because you... No. And I'm sure there are people that do things like that. I don't know. There's a story that I heard from a chusid. He's a ger chusid, and he told me that there was a guy who used to fill up glass tubes with smoke. That one of his achanot for Shabbat, since you can't smoke on Shabbat, is he would smoke and blow the smoke into a glass tube, and so that he would be able to smoke on Shabbat. Rav Kaduri's atzal used to just do snuff, the tabak.
Yeah.
So he didn't do anything like that. But I remember that was always the way. You wanted a bracha from Rav Kaduri, you brought the tabak. But yeah, I missed the Rav, but whatever. Okay, so just to finish up. Okay, so we did that. Atov, lechtov, betech, al yad, sha'ara gina. שהממטרו פועל על ידי שעון שבת, שיכוון על ידי שבת. אך, מידה לדידן, היקר גם זה, בלי שתלה פתח בשער. He says that for Maronian issues, you should put up a sign saying, this is automatic, but everybody knows what an automatic sprinkler is. Not to mention the fact that $40? The automatic sprinklers look different, you know. They're like the little, like, weird heads as opposed to, like, but Lamase, we're not mafmir on that.